Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Come on, New York. Let me hear you. One time for the one time. Sammy.
I was waiting for you to go in. I thought you had the rest of those lyrics lined up. The Sammy and the Jets remix. Shout out to Jerry in the kitchen cooking it up for us. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN
Y'all
News.
Y'all are mean.
Mike Golic like Jr. Mean. We were celebrating Jhené Egbuamoke's beautiful pipes. I don't know what was so wrong with that.
Nothing was wrong with... Oh, thank you. You were my great coach. You told me to go for it, and I went for it. But I love that rendition. Shout out to Elton John.
Exactly. Listen, at this point, to numb the pain, I'm sure Jets fans would reach for anything that situation. Shout out to the bar scene from 27 Dresses. One of the best to ever do it. Oh. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show. Pennzoil, Performance Line. And we got a lot to get to today. It has been moving fast and furiously today. Big news out of the NFL with a quarterback dealing with something we rarely have to see Jhené, and thankfully so, but how we reckon with that going forward is going to be important. Also, we know we've got another game in the Eastern Conference Finals for the Celtics and the Heat tonight, but feels like we got to start with what happened in the West last night and what happened, Jhené, with the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets.
Say it properly.
What had happened was...
There we go.
Everything I've said so far about this series is coming true. I have never... Jhené, like, I normally am not one to toot my own horn with this stuff. For whatever reason, I have been clairvoyant about this series. And last night, the Lakers, looking sloppy until the end when they came back and had a chance, were undone by Jamal Murray and a fury of freakishly impossible shots towards the end of that game.
Look, you've been consistent. You've been on point for the whole playoffs. So everyone needs to give Mike Golic Jr. his due because he has predicted accurately again. He's been saying Lakers in five, and I personally thought that the Lakers would want to know that these predictions are happening. Like, shouldn't they know what you've been saying, right? But instead, they lose, and it did come from Jamal Murray. But you are the one who said it first.
And I want to celebrate that, and I want to point out one of our colleagues who's decided to come aboard the train. Normally, I would call this swaggerjacking, but because he is the face of the network, I'm going to approach
we
this
want the smoke.
With extreme caution. You might want the smoke with him. I'm still determining if I want that smoke. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And so, Jhené, in all seriousness, before we get to Stephen A. Smith coming aboard the Lakers in five hype train a little bit late to the party, what did you see last night? What allowed the Nuggets to get back into this series and bring it to 2-1?
You know, it's funny. Coach Mike Malone said it after the game. He said, we love the bubble. And this is a climate in which everyone is sort of struggling and they find themselves actually enjoying this moment, enjoying this momentum that they're riding. And, you know, what I saw was, you know, in the playoffs, especially in series, stars are supposed to win you games. You can have heroes for a night or two, you know, role players that step up, but the stars win games. And in this series, it's going to take a big performance to take off, you know, AD and LeBron James, especially when they're feeling good. And we saw it. We've seen it from Jokic, but we saw it last night from Jamal Murray. Those two have the most points in the playoffs. I know they've gone to game seven, but still impressive for the tandem to do it. The most field goals in the playoffs. And what you said from Jamal Murray, I watched it and I was in awe. Shaking off the bald eagle. That's what L. Duncan said on SportsCenter today. Alex Caruso to get that nice little three. And then following that up with a nice drop pass to Paul Millsap, you know, being very patient when there's a lot of pressure, and then hitting a dagger three, having those explosive scores, and they tend to do it, you know, in tandem. One night it's Jokic, another night is Murray, and last night was Murray's night to seal the deal, even though the Lakers, you could feel the breath hot on their neck, because there were some turnovers. But then for them to have the resolve, specifically Jamal Murray, to step up big, that was huge.
Jamal Murray going off for 28, 8, and 12 last night. You mentioned Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. A little bit of lemon booty towards the end of that game.
Wait, is that
for
a thing?
The Nuggets. Oh, yeah, that's a very well-known Bomani Jones coined term around here, is the puckering, the lemon booty that went on. Because you mentioned, it looked like nobody wanted any parts of that from the Nuggets side, when all of a sudden, you're up only 3 points and the Lakers are right on your tail.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I guess you feel good, right? Lakers in five, because in this game where from wire to wire, the Nuggets are looking very dominant, and then to see that lead just vanish so quickly, it's almost like if there was another minute or two, a minute and a half, 90 seconds left in that game, to go from up 20 to now making it a two possession game with 2 minutes left, it felt like the Lakers were going to really do it. But to have Jamal Murray be that guy that can score and not just score once, twice, three times, this was in the 2 minute drill, right? 2 minutes were left. And he followed that up with three amazing plays against the Lakers who have been, you know, breathing down their necks. Like, it was an impressive performance by the Nuggets. But still, you look at that game, you're like, ugh, these Lakers probably let one slide.
Well, and it's very interesting. We had deleted Tweet Watch last night from our very own Chinee Agumake, who was up here late night tweeting, saying, man, we're one Anthony Davis shot away from Denver being up 2-1, Chinee. So did you rethink that in the morning here? Walk me through that one.
I already told people in my Rihanna voice, it was like wild, wild thoughts. Like, you don't ever want to go into the if and or but territory where, like, if this happened, because it didn't happen. You have to give credit to Anthony Davis. But if you aggregate the last, you know, the second half of game, what was it, two, and then now game three, the Nuggets have to feel good about the basketball they're playing, because they're playing basketball that can compete and that should bring you wins. But over the course of this entire series, the Lakers have been more dominant over the most important times, including the final shot. But yeah, I deleted my tweet, and thank you, Twitter, for giving us the feature to delete our tweets, because I told people, I was like, y'all, this is a wild thought. I know it's gonna get the Lakers fans out here. They hectic.
We're going to work on this. I have a feeling at some point we're going to bring in a hot take coach here to Chinee Angolo Jr. And I know just the man to the job, but we'll get to that another day, because Chinee, the reason I thought last night might be one of these scheduled losses almost for the Lakers is playing with a lead in sports is at times one of the most difficult things psychologically to go do, to approach with the same intensity when you feel like you're getting out in front. And I thought maybe in the middle of this series for the Lakers, where, all right, you've just run off the high of that last second shot by AD, maybe this would be the spot. And it times up really well for my prediction of Lakers in five, which has now apparently been co-opted by none other than Stephen A. Smith. Listen to Stephen A. on First Take talking today about his prediction for this series.
I picked the Denver Nuggets to lose this series in six games. I'm now picking them to lose in five. I'm changing it to five games.
Say hello to the bad guys.
Here's the reason why. First of all, Murray is a star. Yeah. Jokic is obviously a star. I understand what Max is saying about don't wake up anybody. And Jeremy Grant showed up, dropped 26 points. I mean, special night, no question about it. But still an aberration. Rondo, playoff Rondo, we know who he is. We know who LeBron is with his triple-double last night. We know who Anthony Davis is. I predict that the Lakers are going to win and go up 3-1. Once they're up 3-1, everybody's hearing the chatter what Max is talking about. Don't mess with them. Don't let sleeping dogs lie. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you came back 3-1 against Utah. You came back 3-1 against the Clippers. So guess who's not going to be asleep if the Lakers go up 3-1? It won't be LeBron and AD, because they saw what happened to the Clippers and the Utah Jazz. And as a result, letting the Denver Nuggets come to, you know, be 3-1, be down 3-1, and then win a game five and pull within 3-2 and threatening and reminding the basketball world of what they did the two previous series, the Lakers ain't going to have that.
I'm just saying, he makes enough money to kick me a few bucks for that take. Because, like, right? He's come over to the bandwagon, and I'm fine with that. Like, being on the bandwagon with Stephen A. Smith, that's a place I relish the chance to be.
Agreed.
All I'm saying is, he clearly listened to the show just like a royalty, maybe like a royalty fee for the take on that one.
Look, with the money you get, take us out to dinner and pay for my meal. Because he also did say, oh, you know, I don't think they're going to sleep on the Nuggets anymore. It's like, I've been saying that. Like, I expect the late. So it's twofold, but you heard it here first.
We're trying to tell you. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So we will keep getting back to that. And what on the Lakers side happened? Where the breakdown came from and how LeBron and company go about trying to remedy that as they get into game four of that series. But coming up next, we dealt with a lot of injuries over the weekend in the NFL. We'll tell you about one here next that is unlike anything we have heard in quite some time. We'll get to that. It's Chinee Angolo Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Angolo Jr., the podcast.
Get to on the NFL injury front coming up here shortly. Also coming up in about 10 minutes. We now have an interesting marker in the NFL. A great stat about 0-2 teams in the NFL and the shot they still have at the playoffs. We'll tell you who might make it coming out of this situation. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. But before we get to all that, Chinay, certainly want to pay our respects. Unfortunate news coming out this morning as former Chicago Bears star Gale Sayers died at the age of 77 after living with dementia. Really unfortunate news, Chinay. We know a career cut short by injury, but ultimately still a Hall of Fame career. Was inducted at the age of 34, the youngest member inducted into the Hall of Fame. And one of the all-timers, like, it's a name you sort of grow up hearing in folklore around the NFL, especially at a position like running back.
Yeah, I think it's really tough when you see these situations because they've been a part of our sports, like, legendary, you know, type of aspirations. But also more so the fact that he was such a great guy and, you know, you can transform. That's like what you want to be as an athlete. You want to be an athlete that is fierce competitor, but also a great human being. And he was that. He was both. And I know you had an experience, right, at Notre Dame where you got to hear from him.
Yeah, one spring we had Gale Sayers. We were fortunate enough to have him come and speak to our team and to get to see someone like that in person, to hear from him talk about his career and just take the time to give back talking to our team was such a unique experience. I know it's one that a lot of us really held on to. And I think it's just that, Chinay, is you're hearing a lot of stories. You know, we got to sit and hear stories from Gale about when he was playing and the things that he experienced there. And now even sitting around today, anytime someone passes, it's an opportunity to learn. And this is such a unique one because I even heard earlier today when Mike Greenberg and Keyshawn Johnson were talking about this, neither of them, even a generation above us, were alive to really see him play. And so you have all these things that are sort of passed down through folklore, through word of mouth. And that's why we turn to some people who really can be historians in this situation, like our own Michael Wilbon, Chicago native, who earlier today was on and remembering what he thought of the late Gale Sayers.
Sadly, we knew this was coming and fairly soon. I mean, his health had deteriorated. And I grew up, the first players, football players I knew anything about were Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. And they were drafted on the same day by the Bears, if you can believe that. Either numbers 3 and 4 or 4 and 5. They were drafted back to back. I have a wonderful photo in my home, the piece of memorabilia that I treasure the most, signed by Dick and Gale, because Gale's wife, who I got to know, made that happen and had that picture signed by both of them. And I did get to know Gale Sayers, but the main thing was just growing up watching him. And it wasn't long. It weren't that many games.
Yeah.
You know, he played the fewest number of games of any Hall of Famers, I think you just said. And the people today have no idea. I used to feel sorry for myself as a little kid because Gale got hurt so soon. And I was still so young. And I thought, I'll never, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. And then shortly thereafter, Walter Payton is drafted. And they're both gone. Walter far too early at, like, age 49, and now Gale before he reached 80. But it was just, you mentioned electric. I mean, there's nobody like him. There's not been anybody like him, which is why if you talk to people of a certain age who are old enough to have seen Gale Sayers, they'll say, I don't care how many games he played, you have to see him. And the wonders of YouTube, you can see him. He asked me to host his foundation dinner a couple of times, and I was, I was 50 years old, and I was like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, seeing Gale Sayers. Never, never, ever got over the feeling of I'm in the company of Gale Sayers.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chinay, I think you hear that, and that's sort of the reminder of what Gale Sayers was to so many people. We all have that people that we remain awestruck, no matter how far we climb up the ladder, no matter what kind of line of work or room we find ourselves in, and Gale certainly was that for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I even think about my mentor, Lisa Leslie, who's come on our show, and just having, you know, me, I didn't know the sport as much when she was playing, but get to interact with those people. It just, that's what means the world to us, passing it on from generation to generation. And I'm so lucky to still, you know, get to hang and learn from her. But again, like you said, these are all stories and moments. And the crazy thing is, it's not necessarily what's on the field, it's what's off the field that has really made the most impact. And that's what I love.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So again, thoughts and prayers certainly to the family, those that knew and loved Gale Sayers the most and the closest in this. certainly a difficult day, one that you heard Michael there say, unfortunately, people knew was coming, but doesn't make it any easier to deal with. And certainly no easy transition back into the world of sports, but we go and we do so. As we look at now the current NFL, Chiné, and some wild news today from our own Adam Schefter concerning the health of Tyrod Taylor. Now, we remember Tyrod Taylor, and Chiné, you mentioned this. You were watching the game this weekend and saw, obviously, Justin Herbert ended up getting the start. Tyrod Taylor, a late scratch because what was dubbed a chest injury, upper body injury, and you said you saw him on the bench and it didn't look quite right.
Yeah, I guess maybe I have like this sixth sense because I've dealt with some major injuries, and you can sort of tell when there's pain that you're dealing with in real time and then pain that you know it's a lie. And so seeing him sort of slumped over on the bench and then having the, I can't remember who was with him, but it seems two staff members, you know, really attending to him. I was like, uh-oh, this doesn't look like a nick or a neck, something you try to run off. This looks like something serious. And to find out that his lung was punctured, that to me, you know, was extremely shocking. But, you know, I think the headline is so jarring, you know, the fact that this was something that happened by a team doctor. And you don't really hear of these things when it happens in sports, but a lot of times when it comes to injuries, we are doing quite a lot of unconventional things. Then, you know, if you take off your jersey and you're going to your doctor's office, you're not going to just sign up for a quick shot here or there, right? So these things tend to happen in the sense that you administer these type of, you know, things to athletes, like shots. But to hear that it impacted him in this way and that this is the outcome, like, it's super, super, super tough.
And I think that's just it, Chiné. There's, first off, anytime it's something with an internal organ, and you know this, you've been, you know, you've dealt with serious injuries, but when it's knees, when it's Achilles, when it's things we're used to hearing about, for whatever reason, there's an understanding that we know a lot of these games are difficult, physically taxing, and this is what comes with it. But I remember when Andrew Luck, when you were talking about lacerated spleens and internal organs, there's always that extra second of pause because everyone understands the stuff that's inside the cage in here is pretty darn important. And so when we hear punctured lung, and again, our own Adam Schefter reported this earlier, the Los Angeles Chargers, a team doctor accidentally punctured quarterback Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs, Coach Anthony Lynn told ESPN's Shelly Smith on Wednesday. We hear that last part, cracked ribs, torn cartilage, whatever it is, these shots are unfortunately very normal for a lot of guys. And we've had a lot of these conversations around, well, long term, is this healthy or safe for players? But we know, Chiné, and you know this, everyone's trying to get back out on the field. Everyone's trying to get back out onto the court. But what they don't expect, even though we know with all these procedures, no matter how invasive or non-invasive they are, there is some risk, even if it's so rare that when it pops up, we're still a little blown away.
Yeah, I think what's the tough part here is when you think about his case, first of all, you know, I've known a couple athletes out there, you know, but multiple sports, and you know, the conversations that they have when it comes to Tyrod Taylor and his name, he's a great guy. He's well respected, and I think he's just been seeking that opportunity in the league, you know, from bouncing from team to team, and that's why these things sort of happen, right? It's like you feel the opportunity is right there, right in front of your face, and you might be dealing with nicks or knacks, and that's why we sort of subject ourselves to things where normally we probably shouldn't need a pause, right? Like, oh, maybe if I make it through a few games or if I can start the season and prove myself, then I could have time to recover later on. That's the gamble that we have in our minds that affect us. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate that these situations are potentials that we also do sign up for.
Now, the NFL Players Association is investigating this medical mishap, according to the NFLPA Assistant Executive Director of External Affairs, George Atala. We'll wait and see on that. Right on time, I got a text from my dad, Mike Golick Sr. 13 shots in between my ribs one year, never once got my lung nicked. And so that's how common it is. And I remember my dad talked about that plenty on there, dealing with torn cartilage and not having this situation pop up. And so we reserve and wait to see what that NFLPA investigation finds, but certainly hope the best for Tyrod Taylor. What a scary situation for him to have to deal with on game day. So we'll monitor that and keep watching that going forward. But we know we are through 2 weeks already in the NFL, Chiné. And for the team sitting at 0-2, there might be cause for concern. Coming up next, I'll give you the one number that should let you know why hope actually got a bump in the odds this year. We'll get to that after this word from DraftKings. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code CJR. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code CJR. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chené and Golic Jr.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk to our ESPN legal analyst, Ryan Smith. As news today, obviously a lot of the sports world, certainly the WNBA, had dedicated an entire season to the legacy and saying the name of Breonna Taylor, a woman who lost her life, it feels like almost 6 months ago now.
194 days ago.
194 days ago. And news coming down today that a grand jury in Louisville announced that Officer Brett Hankinson was charged with 3 counts of wanton endangerment in connection with the police raid on the night of March 13th. He was indicted. These were not charges, criminal charges filed in this case. To get into some more of the specifics on that and some of the reaction from around the world of sports, we will talk to Ryan in a little over an hour here. But right now, Chené here on Chené and Golic Jr. We are looking ahead to the NFL Week 3 coming up this weekend. And I know you're probably feeling down because while you have many NFL side pieces at this point, as we've established.
Okay, not so many. We've just got the Patriots, possibly the Cowboys, and the Cardinals.
Not too many, just 3. But
we gotta have a starting 5, you know what I'm saying?
Gotta have a starting 5, gotta have a few fly-ins right there and ready to go. But your main is still the Houston Texans, and they currently sit at 0-2.
Correct.
Not a great time. But what if I told you there's a chance? Now, from 2002 until 2019, 2002 is when the NFL went to its current 8-division format, 7.4% of playoff teams were winless in their first 2 games. So you've got a chance. It's not very good, but you've got a chance. And remember, we went to the expanded playoff format this year, an extra team going to make it in each conference. And with that, we look back, there were 5 other teams that would have qualified based on that. So really, if you add that in, you got an 8.3% chance of making it if you're winless through 2 weeks. So do you feel a little better about that now, Chené?
I feel a little bit better just because, you know, if you look at the Saints and what their start history has been since 2013, you look at my Houston Texans, sometimes they're teams that are just slow burners. And I'm not too worried. Not panicking yet.
Not panicking yet. Well, here's a few other teams that might be in that same boat. This is an interesting way to look at it because of those playoff stats that start to pop up even after week 2, especially for teams that have already lost division games. We got 2-0 teams and 0-2 teams here. 2-0 in the NFL right now. The Bills, Ravens, Titans, Kansas City, Raiders, Green Bay, Chicago, the Cards, Rams, and Seahawks. Good Lord, the NFC West. And on the 0-2 side, we've got the Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, Texans, Broncos, Giants, Eagles, Falcons, and Panthers. And so, Chené, I ask you, and I want to start on the side of good. 2-0 team that you believe will find a way to miss the postseason out of this group.
You know, I'm all about compliment sandwiches, and so a 2-0 team, I was introduced to a number of teams, especially this year, but, you know, the Bears sort of just worry me just because, you know, we talked about it yesterday being a little bit with fool's gold, finding this success early. Could that really hurt you later? But I want to flip it because I want to talk about the Cardinals, okay? Because going into the season, I thought, you know, sometimes when you have Clippers fans are understanding it, when you have tremendous talent that comes together, right? Sometimes it's not so easy for it to gel, but it looks like it's gelling really well for the Cardinals just because, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and the offense has really been tailored to sort of emphasize Kyler Murray's strengths, and then also getting from my main team, Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, being a huge part of that. Now you're starting to see it all come together. So looking into the situation where it's the NFC and picking dark horses, that Western division, I was like, whoa, I don't know if the Cardinals, you know, going in would be that strong. It's good you got a boost in a talented player, but for them to start 2-0, I feel really good about them. I know it's tough, you know, with the Rams and the Seahawks also in the division, but you look at the Niners based on the injuries that happened this week. I'm looking at the Cardinals like, this is a team I probably wouldn't have expected to make the playoffs or even like make that conversation early. And now I'm like, oh, you can sort of, I'm going to, maybe that's like my, I'll risk it all. You know, saying that they likely will.
Well, you know what? And I'm glad joining me there. The Cardinals were the team this offseason I looked at, even in that juggernaut division, and thought they might have a chance. We might get three NFC West teams in the playoffs. God, we will not get three NFC East teams in. But we might have three NFC West teams in the playoffs this season. And it is strange looking at the 49ers situation right now and the difficulties they face on the injury front. Chinee, I'm with you. I looked at the Oakland Raiders and the Chicago Bears in this one. And I understand Jason Fitz is going to be upset with me. This Raiders team has managed to go out, and John Gruden showing again, reminding everyone what a stellar play caller this guy was and is, despite that 10-year hiatus, hitting guys with pool noodles at Gruden's QB camp. Like, this dude can still go out there and call plays and put guys in position. Darren Waller looks like one of the best tight ends
in
the league. Bunch of reclamation. I mean, Nelson Aguilar, Zay Jones, these guys at wide receivers alongside their draft picks. But the injury's starting to creep up there too, especially up front and with some of those toys outside. So I get worried about that. But you mentioned the team right off the bat, the Chicago Bears.
I have a question really quick.
Yeah.
How far can clock management go? Because that was a big factor in their win, their ability to keep the Saints off the field.
Yeah, I think in general, like, I'm one that definitely in the modern NFL looks and says going to score points as quickly as you can and as often as you can is always going to be the way to the promised land on this one.
Exactly.
I understand a lot of people are clock control, ball control people, but that's not necessarily where I fall. Now, on the other side, Chinee, we look at the 0-2 side, teams that you believe, despite starting 0-2, might fall into that 8.3% chance of teams that still go on to make the postseason despite starting winless. I look especially your Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Falcons seem like the three that might really be in the running for this.
You know, I was going to try to defend the Falcons because I feel really bad. I went on SportsCenter and, you know, L was, you know, hitting shots at me because, you know, I was talking about missing three-pointers and she's like, oh, yeah, like your Houston Rockets. I was like, how dare you talk to me, you know, when you're a Falcons and Atlanta sports fan. Like, it's okay. Shout out to Atlanta, though. You guys are very perseverant. But, you know, I'm looking at the Texans here just because, I mean, it's easy for me to say because, you know, the AFC South, you know, I think they've won four out of the last five titles in that division. This is a team that is talented, but they're also dealing with a scenario where they don't have their biggest weapon. And so it's going to take a while for them to gel. But Deshaun Watson, like, this is the guy for the future. We paid him accordingly. So he's played 15 plus games, you know, every year. You know, he's durable. The biggest thing is, like, this guy repeatedly continues to take hits and hits and bounce back up. A lot of times he's extending the play, but still, like, we have a guy that we can believe in. And I think even though we have a slow start here, it's nothing that's out of the normal. I would prefer something else, but I mean, at this point, this is how we expect things.
Yeah, and I think, Chinee, I'm with you on this one. And this is one where I could give you a bunch of competent football analysis to try and justify this situation. But the forces at play here are so strong in this situation. The Philadelphia Eagles already dealing with some injuries, but they're in a division that right now I'm not sure I look up and say, outside of the Dallas Cowboys, that they start just embracing being an NFL Big 12 team and trying to put up 39, 40 points a game. Maybe they can be the runaway favorite in that spot. I look at the Falcons, and I'd like to believe that, but I have listened to Bomani Jones and far too many other people remind me that they are still going to be the Falcons at the end of the day. So I'm with you. Houston, come hell or high water, manages to find their way in to the wild card almost every single year. So
why
should
we
going to
do with that,
different?
Though? That's the question. What we going to do with that, though?
The Not same? Just
big. I mean, talking about Atlanta problems, we can't have big leads and then lose them too, so...
I mean, it's going to be the same thing that happens. You can make the playoffs, but this team is not built to win anything of significance when it comes to the postseason. That's just their lot in life right now. Chinee Ngola Jr. reminding you, tune into Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. All right, coming up. Big Monday Night Football matchup. The best one we'll probably see all season between the Chiefs and the Ravens. What do the numbers say about who's actually the best team in the NFL right now? Have a feeling it's coming from those two. We'll ask our next guest next. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinee Agwumike, and we're delighted to head out to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line right now, where Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders joins us. on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And Aaron, we were just talking about it, 0-2 teams that might be able to climb their way out of the hole. As you look at the crop of teams right now, some pretty surprising names winding up near the bottom of the barrel. Who do you think of the 0-2 crop has a chance to still pull off a postseason bid?
I think the best of the 0-2 teams is Atlanta. Obviously, they would have been 1-1 if not for that onside kick. So they've, you know, they haven't been an above average team, but they haven't been that bad. And they've got a chance to get back into it over the next few weeks with games against the NFC North and two games against Carolina. But they better do it, because when they get to the second half of their season, that's when they have both their Saints games, both their Buccaneers games, and the Chiefs.
They also do get to play the Lions week 7, which, as you tweeted about, could be just an epic back-and-forth volley of fiascos for everyone involved.
Yes, it's going to be a battle to see how many times two teams can blow the lead in the same fourth quarter.
Oh, man. You hear that, Atlanta? Atlanta fans, you have a stand in Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders on Chanae and Golic Jr. Now flipping it from 0-2 to 2-0, which team has been the best in the NFL so far?
I think it's pretty clearly Baltimore. I mean, obviously, they walloped Cleveland, which is an inferior team, which it's good to wallop those teams. And they beat Houston pretty easily. They're number one in our DVOA ratings. They're top five in all three phases of the game. So Baltimore has this habit of opening really nicely. They've blown out opponents like the last 4 years in week one. And so this year, again, they're doing it. They're opening great.
Do you guys have them winning? I know Monday Night Football next week is the matchup everyone has circled in red permanent marker since the scheduling came out. How do your guys' numbers view that matchup right now between the Chiefs and the Ravens?
We do have the Ravens slightly ahead of the Chiefs at this point, plus they're the home team. So, yeah, we would favor the Ravens in that one.
Talking to Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders here on Chanae and Golic Jr. And I'm glad you brought up the DVOA champs. And for everyone, could you just explain briefly what DVOA is? It's a great stat that you guys use that really helps, I think, people understand what's going on here.
Pretty simply, it takes the success of every play based on the down and distance and compares it to a league average that's based on situation and opponent to figure out if teams are above or below average in efficiency.
Speaking of success, how good has Seattle been? You know, this might have been unexpected, but they leaned into Russell Wilson. So how good has Seattle been in your estimation?
They've been really good. We have them number two. Their offense has been fantastic. Only Green Bay has been better on offense. Their special teams is number one. Here's the hidden Achilles heel for Seattle. Their defense has been 24th through 2 weeks, including 29th against the pass. And we're all amazed at what Cam Newton was able to do in that big game on Sunday night. But remember how critical we all were of the wide receivers for the Patriots before last weekend. So the fact that the Patriots were able to pass the ball for so many yards against Seattle is not a good sign for the Seattle defense.
It was stunning. The Seattle Seahawks, the former DVOA champs, that banner proudly displayed in CenturyLink. I'm still sure to this day. Sticking in the NFC West, Aaron, we saw a rash of injuries over the weekend for so many teams, but it seems like the 49ers, a team in the biggest juggernaut division in football, really might have taken the brunt of this blow.
Yeah, they've lost so many. They're currently without. They're going to be without their top pass rusher, which is Bosa, their quarterback, Garoppolo. Richard Sherman is out right now. Their top two running backs are out right now. Kittle is supposed to be back, but he's not 100%. So injuries have absolutely hurt the 49ers. By our numbers, considering that we had them a little lower than everybody else in our preseason projection, when you add that into what they've done so far this year, which has been very average, we have the 49ers as no better than an average team right now, and we only have them making the playoffs in 35% of our simulations right now. These injuries definitely hurt them.
Yep, I remember that was a team that you guys in the Football Outsiders Almanac had as one prime for regression, and this certainly not helping the cause or situation. Aaron, we appreciate the time and the information as always.
Thanks,
man. We'll
Aaron.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, guys.
Again, check out footballoutsiders.com for all of that great information there. But, Chanae, in the interest of hope in these situations, feel like we got a little bit in the NBA last night for the Denver Nuggets, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Little bit of hope for the Denver Nuggets last night in the NBA, but The beautiful part about all of this is after I sat here yesterday and said the Denver Nuggets were going to find a way to win, I realized that I was in a win-win situation because no matter what, Lakers in five still had a chance and still was preserved up until this point. So,
give this man his due and his credit. You were on point consistently.
We are allowed to give me my flowers right now. But the Nuggets still managed to get a win. So coming up next, we'll try and figure out what actually happened on the court for the Lakers, where it all went so wrong, and can it be corrected by game four next.